Terry, I want you to read Matthew 28, 1. She's going to put it up here, babe.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the
scepter.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the
scepter, yeah,
with fear and great joy, and did run into his disciples' work.
That's good, Lord.
And bring his disciples.
Okay. So that's what today's all about. You know, there's religions all throughout the world, and they require their followers to give their life for him. But our Lord, who we worship, gave his life for us. And what I'm going to go about this a little bit different than probably anybody's ever heard it. But well, God's put us on this earth to establish his covenant. Okay? So we know that God is a covenant God. Okay. Galatians 3:13. Lauren, turn it down. I'm ringing real bad up here. It says, Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Why does it say might? Because it's our choice. It's up to us to receive it, okay? Just as Abraham had to receive the covenant from God, he had to choose it, so do we. Now, okay, in Galatians, and you don't have to put these up there, Lauren, because they can't. In Galatians 12, 1 and 2, it says, now the Lord said to Abraham, Genesis, God told Abraham, said, get thee out of thy country and out of thy, from away from thy kindred. Or you can put them up there, Lauren, so they can read them here. And go to a place that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Well, we know how blessed Abraham was. Okay, Genesis 22:1. Now, we know that, you know, everything Abraham did was blessed. Now, here's where I'm going to go. Genesis 22:1. And it came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. He said, take now your son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and go into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains, which I will take show you. Okay? There's two mountains. Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim or something like that. Well, Mount Ebal is the blessing or is the curse mountain. Whenever Joshua crossed, they put the people on two different mountains. The descendants of Joshua and Caleb was on the mountain of the blessing. And all the descendants of the ones who didn't have the faith to go into the promised land was on the blessing or on the mountain of the curse. God told Abraham to go to the mountain that he would show him. And he took him to the base of Mount Ebal. And he made an altar of sacrifice at the base of the mountain of the cursing. Okay? And then, now listen to this. This is how covenant-minded God is. Then, This area is the same area where Joseph was sold into slavery. Around the mountain of the blessing and cursing. Okay? And it says Genesis 37, 17, it says that Joseph went and found his brothers, you know, at Dolom, I think is how it says it. But that's the same area where Abraham built the altar, where God said to take Isaac and sacrifice him. That's the same place where God provided this sacrificial lamb. Okay? Then we know that Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt. And whenever Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt, and the famine came upon the land, Jacob, or Israel, his name was changed to, sent his sons to Egypt to get food to eat. Okay? See, Abraham went to Egypt, but God told Isaac not to go. Okay? But Jacob, or Israel, we'll call him, sent his sons to Egypt to get food. And what happened? Joseph moved his family to Egypt, right? Okay. But then Moses was raised, and they were in bondage for 400 and some years, okay? But when God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, remember? A family went in to Egypt, but a nation came out. See, I'll make a great nation of you. Now, we know that God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, so let my people go so that they can go worship me. God said, I'll take you to a promised land, okay? So that we know that whenever Moses in Exodus 13, 19, 20 said, Moses took up the bones, because Joseph prophesied, when you're led out, take my bones, okay? So said, and he straightly swore, that the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away from hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. Okay? And it said, Exodus 14, 21, 22, we know that they camped at the edge of the Red Sea, right? And then the army, the Egyptian army was coming at them, and God told Moses, okay, said, you take and you stretch your staff in this Red Sea part. So it did that. Okay? And they crossed into the wilderness. Now, it's only 11 miles from the Red Sea to where the Promised Land was. But because of their unbelief, they wandered. You know, we know that they wandered for 40 years. It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind, and all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and to their left. Now this, I'm just getting you to a place where I want to go. So it says, because the children refused to enter the promised land, they wandered in the wilderness. They sent 12 spies out. Only 2 spies said, we can take it. 2 spies were covenant-minded, right? Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 said, we can't do it. We're only grasshoppers, okay? So we have got to become covenant-minded. That's how David could defeat the giant. He knew his covenant, okay? So, okay, now we know that Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. Can you tell me why? It's because he disobeyed God. Well, the first time they were needing water, and God told Moses, said, take your staff and strike the rock, and water will come out. Moses did. Water came out. Okay, the next time they were needing water, and the Israelite children were griping and complaining. They were the gripingest and the moanest, groanest people. Just gripe and complain all the time. They were needing water, and God told Moses, said, speak to it. But he was mad, and he hit the rock again. Well, Moses didn't get to go in the promised land because he struck the rock. Okay? Now here's where we're getting to where I'm wanting to go. The rock represents Christ, living water. He was only created to be struck once. Okay? We know that 2,000 years ago, he was beaten for our healing. Whenever we believe for our healing, he don't have to go back and get beaten again. So we need to quit thinking like Moses and quit striking the rock. We need to know that that blood that was shed for us is more than enough, okay? So, you know, Jesus is living water, okay? Well, we know that Joshua was chosen to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Okay, Joshua 1, 8, and 9. It says, God told Moses, or Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success." And said, Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you whithersoever thou goest. See, that's what God's telling us. Whenever we are covenant-minded, here's the deal. That coronavirus can't come into this church. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has been applied above the door. Well, the death angel can't come in. The curse can't cross the bloodline. That's why it's so important for you to know how effective that blood is. You can't cross it. Okay? So, Joshua 4, 5 through 22. And I'm not going to read it all, but I'm just going to tell you. God told Joshua, he said, okay, now, whenever Moses went across, I told him to put out his staff. But he said, now Joshua, you take the priest and the Ark of the Covenant and they'll carry it. And you tell every man to pick up a rock and put it on their shoulder, one for each tribe, 12 tribes of Israel. And whenever the priest steps on, their foot touches the water, the Jordan River will part. Okay? And he said, when that river parts, you have the priest stand right in the middle of that river. And you take 12, or you take those stones, one for each tribe of Israel, and you make a monument in the middle of the Jordan River. Now, here's what's amazing. Whenever the priest stepped into the river and the waters parted, it says that the waters parted all the way back to the city of Adam, 15 miles. That's important. Remember that. They built an altar in the middle, one for each tribe. Then he said, when you get to the other side, you build another monument or an altar for the children to remember it for years to come. You know where that altar was? At the base of the mountain of Ebal, where it's cursed. God never built an altar. He never had his people build an altar at the base of the mountain of the blessing. But the mountain of the curse was where the sacrifice was made. It's where the altar was built, okay? So, whenever they went across, that represented they're leaving the old life, they're leaving the wilderness, the desert. They're going through to a new life. That represents death, burial, and resurrection. The same thing as baptism. Okay? So, you know where that place is? It's on the West Bank in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land. You see, God sent Abraham to build an altar in Jerusalem, or in the Holy Land. Way over 2,000 years before Jesus ever came. Okay, Joshua, God had him to build an altar in the Holy Land before Jesus ever came. Now remember, that the place where God had them build the altars for sacrifice was always at the base of the mountain of the curse, okay? So, now here's where I want to get to. Okay, now this is Passover, or the Day of Atonement, is what this week was. And we know that the sacrificial lamb, okay? Now in Leviticus, it was telling about a sin sacrifice. Every year, they had to go sacrifice for the sin that they committed. So they'd go and there'd be two goats and a bull, okay? And they'd take the two goats and the bull, and they'd take them to the priest. And the priest would cast lots to see which goat or lamb died and which was going to be the scapegoat, okay? And then they'd kill them, and they'd mingle the blood of the bull and the goats together. And then the little lamb that was supposed to be the scapegoat, they would take that blood and they'd put it on that scapegoat. And the priest would pronounce all the curse of all the sins of the people that over that scapegoat. And then whenever they had done that, and they had anointed that, they'd washed that sheep, they had anointed it with the blood of the other sheep, and then they confessed all the sins, and then they turned that scapegoat out into the wilderness. When they did that, they took a scarlet ribbon and they hung it at the tabernacle. Okay, when the scapegoat died in the wilderness, the scarlet ribbon went from red to white. Now here's what gets exciting. That ended 30 A.D. A.D. means when Christ was born. When was Christ baptized? When he was 30 years old. Do you know where he was baptized? At the same base of the mountain where the blessing and curses was pronounced, okay? So we know that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Okay, now think about this. He went to John, and this is in Matthew 3:13. Through 17, he went to John the Baptist, which John just happened to preach in the wilderness. Just happened to preach on the Jordan. Just happened to preach where the monuments were made. Just happened to preach redemption. Jesus come walking up to him. Now this is my translation. And John the Baptist recognized him because the glory was had to be seen on him. And Jesus said, I've come to baptize you. Peter said, John said, no, I need to baptize you. Because he knew, the Spirit of the Lord told him that there was no way that Jesus had ever sinned, right? Jesus didn't need to repent, did he? But when Jesus went and was baptized, okay? Now remember the sacrificial lamb? The priest washed it? What? This baptism represents being washed. So Jesus took off his robe and walked in to the water of Jordan. You know, it's funny. There was a monument in the middle of that river. Jesus was baptized, okay? Says whenever Jesus arose from the water, what happened? The heavens opened up and the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove. It didn't look like it, but just so gentle. But here's what that represents. That represents the anointing. Remember, the sheep was washed, and then the priest anointed it. And then the priest pronounced all of the curses of the people over that scapegoat, right? What did God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God was pronouncing over the scapegoat. Now listen to this. And then it says the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness. Do you think that's by chance? Uh-uh. He went there 40 days and 40 nights. How many years were the children of Israel in the wilderness? 40 years. See, God don't do things just by chance. I mean, just think, when I got to thinking about this and studying this, man, this was ever since Adam's sin, God had this in plan. You know, he was putting things together. And he found Abraham, who would believe by faith. So he said, Abraham, you're going to have to leave and go to where I tell you to sacrifice. That happens to be where God's children lives today. Okay? What? Wasn't by chance. So what's God told us to do? Why would the West Bank be so holy to the Israelite people? Should be holy to us too, because that's where our heritage began. You know, people don't understand. You know, that's like people who don't celebrate Resurrection Sunday. They don't understand what Christ went through to give us freedom. You know, I've got a shirt that says this is a land of the free because of the home of the brave. Well, just think about it. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to go through. And that's what when Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, Jesus said, I could have called down legions of angels. But he kept his mouth shut so that he could take every bit of the curse that was on God's people and redeem them from it. So Jesus became the scapegoat. You know, and what that's so funny, what's so unique is he was baptized in a place where the water went all the way back to the city of Adam. So he was taking away all the sins of mankind from his time all the way back to Adam. Now think about this. The last week that Jesus walked on the earth, he cursed the fig tree. Why did he curse the fig tree? You ever think about that? Why did he curse the fig tree? Because there wasn't no fruit on it? Mm-mm. He cursed the fig tree because when Adam and Eve sinned, they went to the fig tree to cover themselves. Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, nobody will eat fruit from you there after. Because what he was saying by doing that, he said, I am your cover. You don't need to rely on the fig tree. I am your covering. He also said that my father, this is what he said, my father killed an animal to cover you. That's the first time that blood was shed for covering. He's saying, I'm the last time blood will ever have to be shed for you to be covered for your sin. So what he did, when we read the Bible, and the Lord starts showing us things, I mean, as Kenneth Copeland would say, it takes somebody a lot of time to explain it where we can't understand it. Because it's really pretty simple. And God, you know, and that's God loved us so much that he gave his only son. We know that God told Abraham, said, go take your son, the one that you love, your only son. Well, we know that God did that too. You know, it's just like God gave Jesus his only son so that he could have each one of you as sons and daughters. So Jesus cleared up everything from Adam till he comes back. I mean, that's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. You know, it all goes right back to Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham could come upon us. I mean, when it, just now, let me, Jericho, whenever they crossed over, Jericho was the first place that they took, right? You know, marched around the walls of Jericho. Whenever they took Jericho, they said, don't take anything from Jericho. Destroy it. Whenever they took Jericho, guess what? Joshua built the altar. That's when he built the altar at the bottom of the Mount of Ebal. You know what they did to the king of Jericho? They impaled him on a cross. See, it's paving the way for Jesus to come. But we know that somebody took some riches from Jericho. And the next battle, a little old dinky city or a little old dinky place, was there's no way in the natural that they could defeat him. But because this guy took some of the riches that he wasn't supposed to, the Israelite army or the Israelite people were defeated. God showed them why they were defeated. And I heard Greg Stevenson, which is he's a Hebrew scholar, say that he said, I believe the reason that God said don't take anything from Jericho is because Jericho was the tithe. Whenever Adam ate from the tree, they wasn't supposed to eat from the tree of good, that the tree was the tithe. Okay? So whenever that's what we're going to start, the Lord's, that's what we're going to start studying covenant. I mean, you know, the world will tell you, well, you know, you don't need to be talking about the blood of Jesus because it's gory. But you know what? Whenever today, on Resurrection Sunday, you know, you think about the beating that he took. His body was ripped and tore the blood. I mean, it was a bloody mess. You know that the United States is one of the only places that really don't understand there, you know, and maybe England, you know, they've diluted the covenants. But it's amazing that in Africa, there was a tribe, and they had tried to get in to preach the gospel to them for years. And nobody could get in. And the Lord told this one missionary, this tribe would cut the end of their fingers. And then they would put the end of their fingers together and mingle their blood. And they'd try to get in. And this one missionary said, God, how do we get in? And he said, you tell that chief that I want to touch fingers with him. You know. So he went over there. They'd never been able to get in. And he said, God told me to tell you that he wanted to touch fingers with you. That chief knew the covenant. That allowed the gospel to come in. We have a covenant. And that covenant was cut in blood. Not the blood of bulls and goats. And you know the thing about it is, the scapegoat in the old covenant, it had to be done every year. But the new covenant, it didn't have to be done again. You know, whenever we pray for healing, when we pray for salvation, we just have to receive it. It's just like those mushrooms I was talking about. Man, them mushrooms was already picked. They were already cleaned. All I had to do is receive it. What happened? Say, well, I'm not really worthy of them mushrooms. Well, you think I'm a fool? He said, I don't really like them. I said, well, that's good. I said, you keep fighting the ticks and chiggers and I'll keep eating your mushrooms. But I mean, we got to recognize that everything's been already paid for. It's not about what we have to do. It's about what was done for us. We have to change our way of thinking. Because the devil will want you to think you're unworthy. But in covenant, you know, First of all, you know, the blood, it's a blood covenant. So, you know, whenever the Roman soldier pierced Jesus' side and went through his heart, it says that blood and water came out. How were we circumcised whenever we asked Christ into our heart? The circumcision of our heart. That's why Jesus' heart was pierced through. See, he's got covenant scars. Well, we do too. You know, whenever it's all said and done, people's going to see the Christians that walk on this earth now as how's that go? You know, and say, well, the glorified, we've walked through this. But people will see the same scar in the spirit realm of us that Jesus has. So, start seeing yourself as righteous. Start seeing yourself as whenever you ask Christ into your heart, you became a Christian. That's like whenever you cut covenant with someone, the names are combined. You know, I don't know, but looking at my family tree, the Sal name started out as C-S-E-A, whale. So I don't know if they cut, because the Sal is Scottish, and they knew how to cut covenant because they, you know, they're warriors, and they understood that. So I don't know if, you know, how that went around, but it come around to where it's Sal. But see, when we cut covenant with Jesus, we became Christians. We took his name. And what there's a, you know, every family, if you run your family tree down, you've got a crest, right? We do too. And we put on a robe, Jesus Christ's robe. What was that robe? Righteousness. See, he took our robe of unrighteousness and he put it on and he gave us his robe of righteousness. He took our sickness because we were born into a world of sin. He took our sickness and gave us his health. He took his riches. I mean, he was rich. You can't tell me that he wasn't. And he took his riches and he gave it up for our lack. So what we need to start seeing is everything that he had, he gave up, for he gave it to us. Well, it's being poor ain't our cross to bear. Being sick ain't our cross to bear. Jesus bore it, and it's prideful for you to say, oh, I've got to bear this. Mm-mm. Jesus bore it. You've got to take redemption. We got to take the blessing of Abraham. So, I just want you to realize this, that today, you know, this time of the year is really when the Hebrew New Year begins. So it doesn't matter what you've been going through. Because in the Bible, when people were cursed, the curse only lasted a year. From the Day of Atonement, if they sinned right after the Day of Atonement, it could only last to the Day of Atonement. Okay? So today, doesn't matter what you've went through. It doesn't matter if you've had some kind of addiction. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It doesn't matter what you think you've done that's not good enough. If you've asked Christ into your heart, today is your Day of Atonement. No more. So just remember that what Jesus did has set us free for the rest of our life. What's our job here on earth? To fulfill his covenant. How do we fulfill his covenant? By doing what he tells us to do. I mean, God's got our very best in mind, and the devil's trying everything he can do to destroy us. So, you know, if we're not walking in the blessing, Well, it'd be like when Sam was a little boy and a guy asked him, said, are you a cowboy? And he said, well, duh. If I'm not walking in the blessing, I think, what's going on? Well, duh, what's God told me to do? You see, God doesn't tell us. Even when Judas betrayed Jesus at the Last Supper, and we're getting ready to take communion, whenever Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus knew he was going to betray. Judas partook of the communion unworthily. The reason he took it unworthily is because he had already cut covenant. He had already cut covenant to crucify Jesus, to betray. Okay? But Jesus never revealed to the disciples who it was. That's how much God loves you. He revealed to you. And you know, whenever Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he washed Judas's feet, just like he did the others. And he called Judas friend. And what he was doing, he was giving Judas every opportunity to repent. But Jesus didn't repent, or Judas didn't repent. He was remorseful, but not repentful. There's a difference. You know, people are remorseful when they get caught. When people repent, they turn away. But you know what? The love of Jesus, the love of God, never made that visible to the other disciples. So, go ahead and I'll pray and then you can turn it off. Well, Father, I just pronounce a blessing over each and every one within the sound of my voice. Father, I thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only Son for us. Father, he took all of our sins and gave us all of his righteousness. Father, he took every sickness known to mankind and gave us health and healing. Father, he did everything that was needed to be done for us to walk in the blessing of Abraham and for us to be blood brothers with Christ Jesus, for us to sit at the right hand of the Father. And Father, I thank you for what you did for us. And I pronounce blessings on these people from this day forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Chris.